It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community. Hello, queer dub souls. Hello,
hey everyone. Welcome back
to yet another episode, and we're so happy to be here.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, this is Mary and
Jenny. We like to start with joys. Mm-hmm. So, Mary, what was your joy this week?
I do love to meet new people, and I love to make new friends. And I had the privilege of meeting someone from Uganda this week and having lunch with him and his wife. And it was such a joy just to make new friends and, you know, talk about home, but also talk about our experiences here in the U.S. And yeah, new friends always make me happy, and just meeting people makes me happy. And so that brought me a lot of joy this past week. What was your joy, Jenny?
My joy was a date that my partner and I went on.
Ooh.
We were at the airport a lot earlier, and our flight was delayed, so we had a lot of time. So we just went on a date at the airport, and it was really nice.
What's a date at the airport like?
We walked down to like this area where they had artwork from different high school students.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like a museum walking through that. And then we went to a bar. Yeah, it was like a tiki bar themed bar.
I love the cocktails at tiki bars.
Yes,
they are good cocktails.
Me
yeah.
And so we just sat and talked a lot, which I felt was really nice because I just love talking to her. So being able to talk and enjoy a drink and just have a date at the airport, that was really nice. And we didn't want the date to end, so we just talked on the whole flight back, which was really nice. And then we continued our date when we got home.
Honestly, I think conversation is one of the most precious things that you could ever have, whether it's a relationship, like a romantic relationship, whether it's in a family or whether with a friend. I just feel like conversation and communication is like key one in people being able to express their needs, but also in appreciating someone. You know, like if it's a romantic partner, then you know, taking time to say nice things about them, but you know, then the conversation bonds you. I feel like conversation is amazing, and dates, you know, keep the romance alive
all the time.
Yeah.
So we always make sure that we have dates because that's something that I need in my life.
I know Jenny is taken, but Mary is still single. So if there's any single listeners out there, unfortunately, I date only women. So it's going to be, if there's any women out there single and you want a girl like Mary, I'm right here.
I love that.
But anyway, talking about only dating women or like being exclusive in like, you know, our gender expressions and gender preferences and all this, today we want to just explore what identity is to us. And I actually took the time to look up the word identity in its simplest definition. And what they have here is, identity is the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. And I was like, wow, like I'm going to say this again, distinguishing character or personality of an individual. And then the Merriam-Webster dictionary goes ahead to say it's also the set of qualities and beliefs that make one person or a group different from others. And so today we just want to dive a lot into, you know, what identity is. And I think it's such a big deal these days on like all platforms, not just in the queer community. So that is the definition I got, like, which talks about like what separates one group of people or one person from another group of people. And so I did a little reading up on like different identities, especially in the queer community. And it was actually very interesting to come across the different aspects of life that make identity. So some of the things I came across were race and ethnicity, which I think all of us do have a lot to say about our races and ethnicities and how we are grouped in different ways, how words like POC, which is people mm-hmm. of color, come up. What's like Black and Asian and all that.
Indigenous.
And then, yeah. Then a different facet to that is religion and spirituality. And we all know how religion and spirituality really create the basis of the community that we're in. People are either Christian or Muslims or something else. And I feel that it's unfair that the other religions or spirituality practices are something else. They should also be like individually given their, you know, place in society. Then the other facet I came across was disability, which many of us do not pay attention to, but I feel like it's a big deal. One of the things that I valued the most, or that brought emotions to my eyes or whatever it is when I moved to the US, was seeing blind people walking along the streets or taking buses, and seeing people using their wheelchairs to take public transport, because that's something that is rarely seen from where I come from. And the reason that is not because we don't have people who have different disabilities, but it's really because we don't have things in place to cater for these people.
Yeah.
And also there's disabilities we don't see, like mental mm-hmm. disabilities. Then the other was orientation. And this one I'm still learning, like, you know, things to do with sexual orientation and how like it exists on a spectrum mm-hmm. and different, you know, orientations in there, and like gender expression. It's a lot, but I think all these different things create, I think, most of the identity that we navigate in society, and yeah. how some of us get placed in boxes and how others don't get placed in boxes and stuff like that. So
yeah.
that was good for me to see that there's race, ethnicity, religion yeah. and spirituality, disability, orientation, asexuality, mm-hmm. and all these
there's
expressions.
So many different parts of your identity.
Right.
Or there's so many identities that mm-hmm. you identify with.
Right, yeah. right. And I think for me personally, before I left Uganda, all I was a woman.
Yeah.
And a Ugandan. That's it. Yeah. And even like the Ugandan thing didn't stand out, but when I left Uganda, I became Black.
Mm.
And Black does not carry with it good stuff. You know, you become Black, then you are like the bottom. But then as we grew into our own expression and identity, then I became a questioner. Then I became queer and whatever it is.
And that is all intersectionality.
Right.
Of your identity.
Right.
You know? Because then, okay, you just finished with, when I came here, I was a woman who became Black. Like, I left as a Ugandan and I came here as a, like, a Black woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, and I know we're going to get into this in another episode, but for me, I see myself as a Vietnamese-American queer woman. And this is how I identify.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know we're going to talk about intersectionality a little bit later, but today we want to focus more on our queer identity. So Mary, like in the beginning, how did you identify? Because I know you mentioned that you were questioning in the beginning, right? How did you identify, and what was your process in your relationship with your identity, your queer identity, in the beginning of your journey?
Right. So I feel like a lot of what my identity was, what the society gave me as a definition of who I was, that is what my identity was. And so for a long time, I was a Black woman who had relationships with Black men. So I would say at that point, before coming into my identity, I was a cis woman. But as I came into the process whereby there was a dissonance between my internal experiences and the society norms, there was a part of me that I pushed down or ignored or pushed to the back of my mind for a very long time, until such a point as I got tired of pushing that part of me out. And so, because some of our identities are not welcome in the societies where we are raised, it was a very shameful for me to explore those inner pieces of who I was. So the first time that I started to outwardly questioned my identity, I labeled myself as a woman who was questioning. Mm-hmm. And that is what I used to put on the apps. And even I remember when I tried to join the affinity space, the LGBTQIA plus affinity space at my workplace, I remember the leader asking me and me saying, oh, I'm questioning, because it was just easier to tell people that I'm questioning and not exactly identify a certain way, because that gave me a way of not being labeled as gay or lesbian,
yeah,
or whatever other identities that existed on that spectrum or in the queer community. But as I dive deeper into understanding the queer community and understanding myself in particular, I then became very comfortable with gay.
Mm.
And then but you know what is so interesting? When I was younger, being called gay was an insult.
Oh, yeah.
I would cry. If you called me gay, yeah. I'd be like, why are you calling me gay? It was such an insult. And I do remember, I've always loved Queen Latifah. Amazing black woman. I watched Living Single and stuff like that. And I do remember somewhere, maybe I was 16. I do remember someone saying that she was gay. And I was like, that person is so mean. They're saying nasty things about Queen Latifah, but I never looked it up because I never wanted it to be true.
Oh, you thought gay was just
an insult.
Like an insult word? Like,
yeah.
You didn't know gay people existed.
No, I knew gay people existed, but that person saying Queen Latifah was gay after she acted and set it off, I thought that that person just wanted to insult Queen Latifah because gay was an insult. But anyway, back to my identity. And then I became comfortable with being gay. But then I was still struggling with accepting who I was. But the more I was in therapy and meeting with other queer people, I really became more comfortable with queer, because it didn't place me in a box. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to say I'm a lesbian and lesbians are people who only like women. But what about all these other identities? What about like the non-binary folks? Mm-hmm. What about like the transgender folks? I felt like if I said I was a lesbian, I was maybe, what if I got attracted to someone who was non-binary, then that means I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah.
And then I liked gay, but I just felt gay was so old-fashioned. But for me, queer, which I think initially used to be an insult, and then just the community just took it back and empowered it and made it reclaimed it. So I feel like with queer, I can be anything, because sexuality exists on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And what I am today, I might not be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so being queer doesn't erase the fact that I've fallen in love with men before, because what am I going to say about those crushes that I had, or my boyfriend who I loved in that moment when I loved him? So I felt like being queer helped me to be fluid enough to leave room for maybe a time 10 years, 20 years down the road where I might have maybe a different gender expression.
Yeah.
Or maybe fall in love with someone that's not a man, or maybe not a woman.
Yeah.
So I am very comfortable with the identity of being of queerness. Mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with being queer. I'm comfortable with being black. And I'm comfortable with being woman. So I identify as a black queer woman. What about you, Jenny?
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I think coming into my queerness, I didn't know too much about the different terms or labels, quote unquote. So for me, I felt like I was the same person. I mean, I am the same person. But now I just like this woman. And so in the beginning, it was just hard for me to figure out in my head. I was just thinking, well, how are people going to think? Or what answers should I give people when they ask me these questions? So already in my mind, I was like, okay, I'm going to say that I'm bisexual because I'm still attracted to men and attracted to women now. However, like, I hadn't been with a woman. So then I felt like people were going to ask me, well, how will you know? But for me, I knew I was attracted to a woman romantically. And so I just had in my mind that I was going to say that I'm bisexual. But the more I thought about that, the more I just didn't want to put myself in a box. Like, I was putting myself in a box.
Right.
By saying that I'm bisexual.
I get that.
And I was like, no. Like, I am attracted to non-binary folks, transgender, like, whatever. Like, you as a person, if I'm attracted to you as a person, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, like, it doesn't matter for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I knew how to say that in like a concise way until I learned about like pansexuality.
Right.
And then when I learned more about all of the terms in the alphabet mafia, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just so much and so many identities that just make sense, you know, for different people feeling a different way. They're just like, there's so much for me to still learn about.
Right.
But the more I looked into it, the more I understood. And the more I felt included or accepted. So in the beginning, I was just like, okay, I was telling people that I'm bisexual. But then I'm like, well, I don't even want to tell people like what I am because I can change like tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I'm pansexual. But also I really like that you said fluid because I feel very fluid. And also I love using queer now for me. And yeah, back in the day, queer had a negative connotation to it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
But yeah, reclaiming that word, I love using queer for me to identify myself. And I mean, we both love it because yeah, this is called queerly.
Yeah, I love it. I love queer.
No, but I just love queer. I feel so comfortable saying that I'm a queer woman.
Right.
Because I feel very fluid in my emotions or attraction and sexuality. That and also for me, and I think this is something that we had talked about in the beginning, but I've always had a lot of masculine energy.
Right.
But like growing up, my mom always said, oh, you're such a tomboy. Like, why are you playing sports all the time or whatever? But I also have like a lot of feminine energy, and I don't want to be placed as just one because I'm a girl. You know, so I always kind of felt very fluid in those energies and how I presented myself or the way I acted. But there was just like not really a term for that for me, you know?
Right.
So then when I talked to you in the beginning in the pandemic, I was just like, I have a lot of feminine energy and masculine energy. I might say that I have like even more masculine energy than I do feminine energy.
Right.
You know, so
Jenny, it's actually so interesting or very good that you bring that point up of masculine and feminine energy. And that's why I have a problem with the binary in society.
Yeah.
Because like I remember once in the past, someone I love sneakers.
Yeah.
I love unisex shoes just because they are comfortable. And for me, priority when I'm dressing up is actually comfort. It's not even looking nice.
Yeah.
Number one priority is comfort. And then after that, I'll think about, does it look nice? Then I never ever go out of my way to look nice. It's mm-hmm. just always how comfortable am I? And so for a long time, I have worn sneakers, and sneakers tend to either be in the society where I was raised, they tended to be either masculine or very unisex, and something that's unisex usually falls on the masculine side. And I remember two men actually making fun of me. One said, who is ever gonna date a woman who wears shoes like that? That thing stung me. I would say I was about 26 or something like that. Then another time, it was in a class I was doing my diploma in computer engineering. And like I always said, I dress for comfort, never about anybody else. How comfortable am I? So I don't know. I was always like either in some shirts and jeans, never in anything. Like, okay, it was always comfortable. And I remember someone also saying something mean to me and saying something like, how are you going to make your man happy when you dress like that? And if you listen to both of these statements, they're about pleasing someone else and not being comfortable in the way that I'm comfortable. I was not born to make any man happy. I was born to find out who I am and learn how to navigate the world my way and grow my identity and be a better person than I was yesterday. And so when you talk about masculine and feminine energy, I was very ashamed for a long time. I was very ashamed of my masculine energy. I was very ashamed of like how, like I make things happen for myself. I carried my whole life like in two suitcases. Yeah. Into two suitcases and traveled across the world to start a new life in another country.
Action, that's masculine.
I was so embarrassed, very ashamed of that side of me, ashamed that I used to control the shoes I would wear. Then for a long time, I tried to like wear dresses and skirts. I know because I wanted to, but I wanted to get rid of that masculine energy. But for the first time in my life, after coming into my identity, I am so comfortable with the masculine side of me. And I'm also very comfortable with the feminine side of me. And that's why I can't say, oh, I'm mask presenting or I'm femme presenting. I'm just, when I wake up today and I feel like presenting mask and doing mask things, I'm going to do masculine stuff. And if I wake up and I want to present feminine and do feminine things, that's what it's going to be. And I'm so glad you brought that up, but I'm also even happier that I was able to find that where, like, coming into my identity of identifying as a queer woman.
Yeah.
I can be everything I want to be.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I'm so much more comfortable that way. But also, there is something that I did want to bring up, because in the beginning for me, and this is part of my, like, internalized homophobia, but also thinking about, like, am I the more masculine one, or is my partner going to be more masculine? You know, that was something that was in my mind, like, a lot. Because I was just like, but I feel like I want to be the girl and then my partner will be the guy. But that's totally like such a wrong way of looking at that.
Maybe it's such a society thing, because we've been like, we've internalized a lot of this because that's how society is structured and that's how we're socialized. So we sometimes, in not because we're bad people, but we try to bring that. In our relationships, we try to bring that heteronormative structure into our relationships. It might not necessarily work, but you're not alone. I've not been in a long-lasting same-sex relationship or queer relationship, but I do remember last year, you know, battling internally with some of those questions, like, am I going to be the provider?
Yeah.
You know, am I going to be the masculine energy? But also, I think through the process of having conversations with people like you, but also having conversations with other people, sometimes I ask myself, am I attracted to women with long hair, because that's what society says a feminine energy is? So I've learned to like really ask myself some of those questions, to the point where when someone asks me, what's your type, I'm like, I don't really have a type, because I think it's the person. But that's just me. I feel it's because I'm trying to fight against all these society things. Like, I think initially when I just come out, I was very much interested in dating the femme that looks like the femme that we know, you know, long hair, cute and pretty and wears dresses. But I also get attracted to that tomboy look. I love the tomboy look on a woman. I love it so much.
Too.
So, I don't know. I think, the whole thing of like coming into our identities and exploring the different identities and sometimes the labels that exist. And I know there are so many people that are not comfortable with labels. It's a good way of growing our mindset, like of opening our mindset.
Yeah, it's a really good way to have inclusivity at the forefront.
Right.
Because what I hear a lot, people saying, oh, there's a new letter added every day. Like, why do I have to learn this, you know? And for me, it's just, it's not about you. It's about the person who feels included now because there is a term that makes them feel comfortable.
That's real talk, man. That's real talk.
It's like, for me in the beginning, I had to learn everything, but I'm still learning because I still don't know so much.
Right.
From the Alphabet Mafia and like all of the terms that there are out there. But and trying to like consciously learn and understand, but it just made me like, even for me, like seeing like the LGBTQIA+, just that word or just those letters, and then reading more into it, I'm like, gosh, I feel so much more understood, because there are certain terms where I'm like, oh my gosh, I kind of feel like that too, you know?
Right.
But then, yeah, I just look at it as, if there's anything that I can have people do more of with learning about the queer community, is start with that. Like,
yeah.
Start learning what LGBTQIA+ means.
Exactly.
And you can learn little by little, but it's just because it makes someone else feel more included and to understand who they are and to feel safe and comfortable. I think that is important enough for you to learn.
And yeah, and I like the fact that you've gone that way and talked about people taking time to learn, because someone is a minority does not mean, just because yes. They don't have the numbers does not mean that they have to be excluded. And that's why learning, especially about our community, especially about the spectrum as it exists, is so important, because for a long time we have had false information taught to us. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know a spectrum existed until I was like 38.
Yeah.
So
I mean, this is just us, Mary, navigating the world as older people who are just coming into their identities.
Exactly.
You know, so like, I feel so comfortable talking about all of this with you, because we have experienced the same things, but it's also talking about like things that you don't normally talk about, like internalized homophobia.
Right.
I feel like that is just something that can be very shameful to talk about, because maybe we feel ashamed about it.
Yeah.
But it's reality.
It is reality.
It's how we were conditioned to think and how we were socialized. Everything that you mentioned earlier, I'm still coming to terms with it.
100%. I'm with you.
And I'm just with you. Like, oh my gosh, there are all these things. And
it's a journey.
Yes, it's a journey. All these things I need to break. Like, a lot of these implicit biases that I have.
Oh, man.
I need to break. And,
right.
And I'm learning a lot of that too, being in a queer relationship,
right,
and understanding and accepting that,
right,
no, not what I thought was the right way ever, or I don't know, it's I've just been learning a lot.
Right. So Jenny, I'm curious, what's your queerly noted today?
Oh man, I knew you were gonna ask that, but I am totally not prepped. Do you have a queerly noted?
Yeah, my queerly noted for today is learn. You know, just like Jenny said, take time and learn about, I don't want to say alphabet mafia, but alphabet mafia is so Gen Z and it sounds so cool. But I think, you know, back to the serious bit of it, is take time to learn about the LGBTQIA+. The plus sign is there because the identities are ever evolving and we learn something new every day. And taking time to learn this, whether you belong to the queer community or not, is a good way to be part of the progressive change that we need to see that includes everyone, regardless of whether they are a minority or not. Like this week, I am going to take time to learn about gender expression.
That's good. I love that.
So what about you?
I think for me, understanding and accepting that multiple identities or expressions or energies can exist at once.
Ditto. No, that is profound. We have learned to be so binary and polarized, but you're so right.
Yeah.
They can all exist at once,
which
is so interesting, because I think we want to talk about intersectionality at some point.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be coming up next.
All right, it's been amazing hanging out with all the dope souls.
Thank
you
all.
Have a great week, and
love you
Jenny. If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you, so please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all!